Welcome to Over for Coffee. This is a podcast where we invite our friends and family over for coffee and talk all things community and creativity. In this episode, we have artist Gabriel Prusmek over for coffee. We talk about our latest coffee blend and start our conversation with Gabriel about his artistic journey and influences. Come on over for coffee. Hey, you're listening to Over for Coffee. We're so glad that you're listening to us. And we have a really great friend over for coffee today. And we have Gabe Prusmek with us.
Hey.
Hey, Gabe. How are you, man?
How are you? I'm good. I'm doing great.
Good. And Dave, Esther, myself, and we're so excited to have you over. You're officially our second guest.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
You're our second guest and our very first artist.
Okay.
So we're excited to have you over, man.
Yeah, right. I mean, you're shooing for top five, you know, guests.
Hey,
top five
guests. Right on. For sure. I'll take it.
For sure. Top three.
Hey.
Even higher.
Top two, maybe.
Top two. You're number one.
That's not good. Okay.
Whoa, gold team rules. That means nothing.
I mean, for sure top five, because we've already had another guest, and then there's three of us.
Okay.
So you're in the top five.
Okay, it's the only five.
For sure, the only five that have been on the show.
There you go. Okay, we're narrowing it down here.
So, anyway, glad you're here today, man. We usually talk about our coffee and what we're drinking right now. And
what are we drinking?
What are we drinking? What is this?
This is Brazil, I think.
I liked it.
Another Starbucks blend.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't know.
I guess, liked it.
You know, it's in the grocery store, and that's where I'm at every week.
I'm trying not to just drink it all, like, right now. I want to
like
sip
it?
On it. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I just drank all mine.
I'm trying not to just, like, chug it, like, shot, like, just... Because it would be gone already. Yeah, same.
Mine was getting cold, so...
Gabe, how do you drink your coffee? Are you cream sugar guy?
Just black.
Black straight up.
I usually put coconut sugar in mine.
Mm. Coconut sugar?
Yeah.
What's that?
Does it make it taste like coconut?
It's just coconut. I don't know. It doesn't. It's just a just more healthy. I don't know.
Right. Just a different type.
Most of the groceries I buy at my house are just try to be healthy. So coconut sugar is one of them.
That's cool. I respect
coconut
that.
Sugar.
It's pretty good. Most places have like sugar in the raw, like coffee shops. So
yeah.
I like sugar in the raw. It just tastes good.
Yeah.
It's just better than regular. Yeah. But yeah, usually black. Black with sugar is pretty good.
Cool. Cool.
About 4 or 5 cups a day.
so
I'm always...
It fuels you.
I just like the taste of it. It's not... It's just the taste is amazing. It's just good.
Can you drink coffee late at night and then just go to bed? Like, does it affect you?
Lately, I can, because I've been working in the sun lately, and I'm
done.
I'm done for the day. When I hit the bed, I'm out. So... There's some weird days where if I drink it past 7, I'm like, oh, man, I can't sleep. But, yeah, majority of the time I drink it till about 7, usually 7, 8.
Yeah, we usually have at least one cup, at least with dinner. We drink it with dinner. I think you drink it with dinner too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of makes you feel a little bit like a, I hate saying it, I'm sorry, but it makes me feel like an old man. Like I'm drinking it with dinner.
No, you're fine. No.
Well, usually like when I'm drinking coffee like late at night, I get to a certain point where I'm like, is this like the 8th cup like I've had? And it's like, I think I should just go to bed. Like instead of drinking more coffee so I can stay up 30 minutes more, that's when I make the decision to like, hey, I should probably just clock out today. You know, like
I get the old man feeling whenever I take my dog out in the morning with my cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And I'm walking through the alley. That's my old man feeling. Like, and I'm walking down the sidewalk and everybody's going to work. It's like 7 a.m. and I'm like... Ah, the day is going to be great. Just sipping on it. Let my dog use the restroom. That's the old man feeling.
Now, do you have a favorite coffee? I mean, I've seen you at Mod before, too. So, I don't know if you have, like, a favorite. Like, when you go to a coffee house.
When I go to a coffee house, I usually go for, like, a cortado poured into a regular drip coffee.
Okay.
So, it's, like, the shot with the steam milk into regular coffee.
Sophisticated, man.
I mean, it's not. It's just espresso, and it's got more caffeine, so that's why. I usually just buy a pecan praline from Kroger. That's it.
That's it?
Just a community coffee. That's all it is, and it tastes
pecan
amazing.
Pecan praline. Okay, right. I got some flavor.
I literally just drink that, and if I'm going to eat breakfast with somebody, I'll drink that before I go, and I won't even drink coffee at the restaurant because I'm like, I like my coffee more. Because a lot of restaurants like water down their coffee.
So
they water it down. It's like tea. I'm like,
I call that hotel coffee. You know?
Yeah.
Because you can't so get a good bad. Cup of coffee at like
it's
a hotel.
Like tea.
Yeah. You know, so like.
Yeah. I like motor oil.
Like a thick.
Pecan praline motor oil.
Pecan praline motor oil.
It just tastes better. You can get the full taste out of it, but it's just medium. Medium roast is. When it gets down to dark roast, that's too harsh.
Yeah.
That's that. That's that. You're drinking the beans pretty much. You're drinking the actual like powder. I don't like that. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's in
I was wondering why you never
want to eat my coffee.
I was wondering why you didn't like or why you don't order like a black eye. Have you heard of like a black
I've
eye?
I've had a black
it's
eye.
It's just like yeah, the espresso shot in the coffee.
Eh,
you
that's
like
too
the cortado
heavy.
To kind of like
I
mellow
like,
things
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I like it to mellow out a little yeah. bit. I okay. don't like that harsh taste.
Yeah.
That's why I add sugar usually.
Yeah.
You know. And the coconut sugar is a little different taste, so you should definitely try
it. Okay, that is on our to-try
yeah.
list.
To-try list.
You can get
we
that at the grocery
that.
Store.
Yeah,
right?
Anywhere.
Just,
you can
right,
get it
so
next to the
it.
Sugars. I mean,
yeah.
it's right there.
Coconut sugar. We're going to do it.
It's got all these non-everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's I don't even get it for that. I just like it because it's not, like, it's more natural. It's just
right.
not your average sugar that's, I don't know, bad for you, I guess? I don't
Heavily
and it
heavily
and it
processed.
Tastes different.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
another reason. It tastes actually good. Okay. It's not coconutty.
It's not coconut.
But it's still a different taste
okay.
than your regular
We're
sugar.
Because
I did like coconut milk recently, and I'm like, this tastes like coconut. Like it's like
yeah,
supposed to be like the original, like not flavored. And I'm like, I don't want coconut like cereal. Like this is ruining my
yeah,
day.
I, know
like, I was so upset.
You want the healthier alternative with your
so
processed
upset.
Cereal?
Yeah, yeah,
your
right.
Sugar smash.
This clash of cereal
with your Captain
ruining.
Crunch.
He's on the 50-50
healthy.
On healthy. I was like, yeah, I'm still gonna have it, but
yeah.
I'll do something.
I have
for
Captain
sure.
Crunch
no,
or
no,
coconut
sure.
milk.
I don't think Captain Crunch would approve of that. He's like, get the real milk.
Yes.
Also,
weird.
It seems to us right from the outside looking in, right, you know, following you on social media, mm-hmm. seeing that God's been opening doors for you, right, like on the island, and it's so cool. You know, we've known each other through church circles and through mm-hmm. you know the church that we planted. It's been over 10 years now.
Yeah.
And so
oh
we've
gosh.
Seen you. No man, we're young. We're young, right?
We're young.
Right. But
we're
seeing,
young.
But seeing the artist that you were when we first met you, right, and seeing what you're doing now. Obviously, your creativity and you as a person, you have changed and you have, you know, I guess evolved. I guess we can use that word.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us a little bit about that process, you know, because I remember some of the early stuff you did, and it's changed a little bit, but you're still kind of within. You're still using a lot of aerosols and things, at least from what we can see. But what has changed for you? How have you evolved as an artist during the last 10 years?
I would say I've evolved as far as like making my own style as an artist. And that's something that I had trouble with because I was just doing... I wasn't just doing artwork to do it for commissions or anything, but I was doing it in a sense of challenging myself, so I took on everything and never really took the time to do my own thing, more so than, okay, I'm gonna paint this, and I'm gonna paint that, and I'm gonna paint all these different subject matters until, yeah, almost 8 to 10 years later, I'm like, man, I need to take time to do my thing for a long time instead, because I was like, yeah, I'll paint this Harley Davidson, and then I'm gonna paint this family portrait of everybody and try to, you know, just kind of trying to prove to myself that I can do it.
Yeah.
And then realizing, who cares? I don't care about this. Not that I don't care about doing the portraits or anything, but about 3 years ago, or I'd say about 3 years ago, I started just not planning anything with artwork. I just stopped. I was like, I'm just going to go to a wall. I'm just going to go to a canvas that I make, and just start painting. And I started doing that. And then when people wanted me to do something for them, I just did that.
Hmm.
And it really added my flavor into it, because then it was off the top of my head with color. And that's when it really started taking a form. And I I don't wish I would have did that a long time ago because I learned a lot by those challenges.
That's another thing I was going to ask you is like, did you see that as like helping develop your style?
It like subliminally helped. Because, I mean, you change in your life. I mean, hopefully you change and update yourself in different ways as far as like a person and what you do, what you love. And that kind of helped me to figure those things out. Those are like foundational things that I obviously needed to know. And now I use those in other paintings, murals. So those things have helped. That has definitely transitioned my style and to where I'm at now. And it seems like more, there's more gravitation with color in my work. So it just, to me, color is just joy. That's all. Yeah. That's all it is to me. And I just want to use it constantly.
Do you have any like, and not so much like ill feelings, but like weird feelings when you see something that you did, let's say 5 or 6 years ago, right? That you're just like, I mean, do you like it? Do you appreciate what you did then? Or is it kind of like,
I laugh sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, man, I remember that stage of my life and I'm glad I did it. Cause there's some things I'm like, man, that thing was a hassle to get through that. But that's the thing is if you don't look for any challenges, you aren't going to go anywhere. I mean, you're just going to sit on the top of that, whatever, plateau. Yeah. And I imagine that if I'm sitting on this plateau and I look around, but then I turn all the way around, there's a giant mountain that I haven't looked at because I'm too lazy or I'm too comfortable to actually turn around and climb up the next step, the next thing, which is, yeah, something that you've never done before with whatever you're passionate about. And that's something that I look back at the old paintings, I'm like, man, I remember that was really hard to do and really struggling there. And I was in my mind like crazy. And now I'm like, I want to do that one again. That'd be fun to see where I'm at now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to see what kind of style it would be if I were to do it. And I find myself doing that. I mean, I do not the paintings that I see, but the same kind of imagery or whatever, you know, just anything really, any kind of, I mean, painting somebody's dog or painting, like I do, a flamingo all the time. So mm-hmm. I paint it differently every time. So it's not the same. I mean, I'm not a man of routine. Not in artwork. Maybe with techniques, I guess. But yeah, I look back and I love seeing that stuff. You're your own biggest critic.
Right.
And I think if you have fun doing it, you're going to look back and say, wow, I still love doing that. I want to go back to that. Hmm. Like as I'm growing in what I do as a passion to paint, I'm like 3 years ago, I started experimenting and unplanning things. And I started realizing all this crazy detail I was trying to do. I went back to the basic stuff, like the things, the paintings that you see people say, oh, my kid could have did that. I appreciate that so much now. That general, just at the flick of the hand, just kind of whatever it is.
What comes out is what comes out,
and people get so irritated that those paintings get sold for billions. I don't know how they do that, how those paintings get done like that, but that's not even the fact. It's the appreciation of your foundations that I've become in love with. I'm just like, oh man, and when I see other artists, I'm like, wow, that's it's so simple. Yet it goes so far.
Right.
And when I see simple abstract that I'm thinking, oh yeah, a kid did that. I see that artist as that kid. I'm like, that kid did that. And now I actually take it personally, like, man, I'm that kid doing this now. And yeah, maybe a kid did it.
So you were talking about doing your older paintings and you see stuff that you've done before and you're like, oh, okay, I kind of like that. It was almost like there's little bits of your style in all those other paintings, and you were like getting glimpses or getting hints of yourself.
And
sort of like working it out across like a million canvases, right?
Yeah,
through the years until you finally go, okay, now I'm going to put all those things together and this
get all those gems
all
together.
All those gems together and make your style and then it all clicks and people, like, we have walked down the Strand in Galveston, mm-hmm. and we'll tell the kids, hey, look, that's one of Gabriel's, right? So that's once cool. they, and they learn how to recognize it. And then yeah. we'll be walking down and we see a panel or something, or the mural or the postcard. Is that, that's Gabriel, right? And yeah, we'll yeah. say, yeah, that's it. Cause they start to recognize your style.
Yeah. You know? I like and that. Then, I love hearing
so,
that.
So yeah, it's so that's cool. Good.
Yeah. I mean, we've come to really appreciate your work, and even to the point, and now that you say this, like, it makes a lot of sense for me, because we were at the food truck park here a couple weeks ago. Where and is there that? So here in Santa Fe there's a okay. there's a
Three
food truck park.
Food truck park.
And there was a food truck that rolled up and it was painted.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it and I'm like, this looks like Gabriel's work, but I couldn't really tell.
Mm-hmm.
And until, like, I found, like, your signature, like, off to the corner.
What was,
I was
it?
Like,
what
so it was it? For, man, they have a restaurant down in Galveston. Coops?
Oh, yeah.
The chicken place, yeah.
It's the barbecue. Yeah, they have a resale shop there,
yeah.
too.
And so they told me that you did the building,
too.
Oh,
cool. I forgot and
one thing they told me, they're like, yeah, Gabriel painted this food truck and our building. But even looking at the truck, I was like, oh man, is that him or is that not him?
Yeah,
but now
that,
that you say that and kind of put it all together, like yeah. as you've changed and you've begun to say, hey, this is who I am and this is what mm-hmm. I like and this is what I'm passionate about, and seeing talk about the colors and everything, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
I like how you were saying that, like, when you look back at it, you find that, like, You still remember that, like, joy of, like, working on the piece? Do you find, like, your motivation shift, like, when it's a commission piece? Like, do you still get that same, like, oh, like,
yes.
were you able to find joy in that? Like, because I have trouble, like, motivation-wise on commission stuff.
I mean, it's dealing with people sometimes. I mean, they want it almost exactly. They're like, hey, can you do it just like this? I almost want to tell them, well, just go get it printed. I mean, yeah. you want me
right.
to do this? I don't want to do it exactly like that. Right. That's not how it's going to turn out.
Right.
So now I've gotten so risky to the point of messing it up, because I don't want to do it like a print. And I'm just going to throw so much color in there. I hope they recognize their picture, but they know, wow, an artist actually did this. And
right.
there's a destroying palette of color on there, but it still looks good, you know? That's what I started doing. I started getting, like, irritated at people that wanted it exactly like it with every single color and all this, and I'm just like,
speaking our language here.
You know what?
Speaking
you know,
our language
and
here.
You know what? Sometimes I don't even say anything. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can do it. All right, yeah, let's do it. And then I just go home and I just destroy the picture. I'm like, I ain't doing that like that at all. You're going to like it the way I do it.
I got to remember that next time I call you.
And if people get mad, they get mad. If people get mad, I'm not going to be mad at them, but
right.
I'm going to do it the way I do it, because they want me to do it. They're not going
like
to anybody else.
Right. They can't do it.
They are. Exactly. And if they want to control it, I'm just going to hand them the can and say, hey, here you go.
You need to do it yourself.
You do everything. Here you go. Not in any mean way. I'm just going to say, here.
Yeah.
Let's see you try to do it all. If you're going to be that critical about it, seriously.
Yeah.
Because you're paying for a filter. If that's what people want, you're literally having...
Well, it's like your expression. It's your
exactly.
expression. It's your personal...
I'm the
like...
filter going into your loved moment of a whatever the person or dog or whatever it is.
Right.
The place, the house. I've painted different things for people. And I'm like you would see on a photo. You filter it with a different color.
Right.
Everything.
It's a great way to explain it. Great way to explain
it.
Yeah,
because clients don't understand that they're giving you ideas.
And I explain it to people and they're like, oh, okay. We're going to wait. I've had those ones. They're like, we're going to wait and talk about it a little bit. Maybe you can do a rendering. And I'm like, okay, I should never said anything. That's when I'm like, okay, I learned my lesson by explaining what I'm going to do. But...
Just,
I mean, people are people. They're gonna think and say and do what they do, but you just have to love people. That's it.
So I'm kind of browsed your Facebook page, your business profile.
Okay.
And you know, how did former First Lady Bush react to her portrait that you did?
She liked
it. I think
it.
It's awesome.
She really liked it. She wasn't that talkative because she was taking pictures with everybody.
Yeah.
So I think she was tired, to be honest. Yeah. And the Secret Service actually was there, and they were really weird about me being there because they saw paint all over me. And it was a women's conference, and I was just a vendor.
Yeah.
I was painting. I had paintings in the place. There was tons of people there.
It's really cool.
It wasn't. Awesome. There was actually a lot of guys there with vending. For the market there, and I painted that outside, and I was excited, and I thought, yeah, she's gonna love it, and it was kind of like, oh yeah, I love that. That's great. And oh, my husband's a painter, and I was like, I think everybody knows that your husband's a painter, but she liked it, and I was happy with that, and she said, let's take a picture with it, and I was like, cool, all right. I don't know if she took it or not. I ended up giving it to a lady that was with them. I don't know if they took it. But the Secret Service was really like, I and me and I and the painting. Because I don't paint on canvas.
You weren't even wearing your pink suit in that. I mean, you look normal.
They have to be like that, obviously. I mean,
yeah, because you don't use canvas, right?
Sometimes I use canvas when I find it, like laying on the street. That's the only time I use canvas. Or if somebody gives it to me. Or if somebody requests that...
We got one in the garage. You want it?
Sure, I'll take it. I find canvas all the time. I mean, I just don't prefer it. I like painting on history, but actually including the history and not painting over it. That's kind of one of the reasons I use wood and metal. But, I mean, I'm a graffiti artist. I painted on the streets for the first 5 years of painting illegally. And I wanted to collect... I love the raw street and painting on it, so I wanted that in my work, and I was influenced by different other artists in Germany and just online as when I started, so I'd see some things and I'm like, oh, that's cool, and that kind of has evolved a lot. Like, I used to just grab a piece and paint on it. Now I grab like wood or metal and I cut it up and then put it back together, so it's kind of like it really becomes more original.
Yeah.
And in a sense of, okay, nobody's doing that actual piece like it is, so that is very original. I mean, there might be people doing the same concept,
right?
But I like it's artwork in itself, just doing woodwork with metal and putting your own collage together. I mean, even before I paint on top of that, it's pretty, just how it is. I just love seeing the reason what I do that for is for contrast, and the majority of my work is contrast. It's black and white, except it's not black and white. It's teal and orange, or red and blue, or pink and yellow next to each other. Just colors next to each other. That contrast, that's what I look for, because it's what keeps my eye and inspired. And I might have used those colors a million times, but it's still addicting. It's like, oh, I'm going back to that. And you're sewing with two colors that I love together. I mean, this is awesome. Right when I'm talking about contrast, she has these two colors that are contrasting.
You're like, those are my next paint inspirations.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. What is that, by the way? What are you sewing?
It's actually knitting.
Oh, knitting. Okay,
it's all right,
there you
it's
go.
All right. It's going to be a beach wrap for a friend.
Oh, cool, cool.
Hopefully I'll be done before these are aired.
That's awesome.
If not, they'll know.
But these are her colors.
Oh, cool,
so,
cool.
So, yeah, like, I don't pick the colors.
Oh, cool, I like those
usually
colors
for myself,
together.
So these are her,
those
like,
are
bright pops of color, so I picked for her.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
I love it. We're talking about art.
She's
doing it. She does it all the time.
Thank you for listening to Over for Coffee. Please join the discussion on our Facebook page by commenting with your thoughts about the show. We would love to hear from you. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sponsoring our next cup of creative coffee by donating on our website, overforcoffee.com. Don't forget to comment, like, and share each episode with your friends.